So I'll never forget standing on the edge of the playground during kickball, which is one of the most popular sports in the world. And everybody was getting picked. But I was the new kid, and I was picked last. I wasn't even actually picked. I just was last. And I knew that I was better than some of the kids that got picked over me, but it didn't matter. But in that moment, I still kind of feel that today. I felt invisible. I felt overlooked, like I didn't belong. And it wasn't just about kickball. But that moment touched something deeper that I think all of us have felt at some time in our lives. It's the ache of being unseen, overlooked, forgotten, wondering if anybody else notices who I am, where I am, what I am, or even if we matter at all. And we're beginning a new series called No Perfect People Allowed. So I just need to make this caveat. If you are perfect, this is time to leave. Why do you say no perfect people allowed? Because the church is not a place for people who have it all together. Last Easter, someone said, you know, my whole life, I thought Christians had it all together. And when I heard Pastor Joel's testimony in his Easter message, I realized that God can do anything in anybody's life, that you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian. And I truly believe that many people don't come to church, don't step into worship, because they feel that there's too much shame, that they're not perfect enough. But the church is a place for the broken, the wounded, the unseen to find life in Christ. Don't you believe that? And so today's message is called God Sees You When You Feel Unseen. God sees you when you feel unseen. And this series, No Perfect People Allowed, we're going to dive into the life of King David. And here's the big idea today. God sees you and has a purpose for your life. God sees you and has a purpose for your life. And so we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. And here's the point I want to make for my first point in this section of Scripture. Let's go ahead and put that on the screen if we can. God has seen you all along. That's the first point if you're taking notes. God has seen you all along. Let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. God has seen you all along. So King Saul was Israel's first king, and he looked the part. Let me tell you, he was over 7 feet tall. He had a commanding and impressive stature. But over time, his leadership unraveled through disobedience and pride, and though he still wore the crown, God rejected him as king. Saul's heart had become hardened, and the Lord had already turned the page. So Samuel, God's prophet, was crushed over this because he had personally anointed Saul, guided him, mentored him, and pleaded with him to obey. And now Samuel mourned, not just a man, but what the kingdom had become. Israel demanded a king so they could be like other nations, even though God was their king. And now their very first king has failed epically. To Samuel, it felt like God's plan had collapsed. But God speaks into Samuel's grief. He says this, "How long will you mourn for Saul? Fill your horn with oil and go." So God wasn't grieving, he was moving on. God sends Samuel to Bethlehem, an unremarkable town, to anoint the next king. But Saul, the king, was still alive and dangerous. So Samuel feared for his own life, and rightfully so. So the Lord provides a cover, a sacrifice, a legitimate act of worship that would conceal Samuel's deeper mission. You know, God's plans often unfold quietly through obedience, not spectacle. And when Samuel arrived in Bethlehem, the elders trembled. You did not want to be on the wrong side of the prophet of the Lord. They're like, what did we do? A prophet did not travel without a reason. Was this judgment? So Samuel calms them down, invites Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice, trusting that God would reveal the next chosen one, the next king of Israel. Meanwhile, David, the youngest son, is out in the field. He's a shepherd, not a warrior. He's the youngest. He's tending sheep. Yes, he's fighting off bears and lions, and he's learning how to lead in obscurity. He had no idea that Samuel was coming. He had no idea that his life was about to change forever, and not just his life, but global history as we know it was about to be impacted in infinite ways that we're still trying to wrap our brains around. And here's what so many people miss. Bethlehem itself, this little obscure town, had already been chosen by God. The small, obscure village where Rachel was buried in sorrow generations before had been written into God's redemptive story long before Samuel arrived. And then Micah the prophet would later prophesy that out of Bethlehem would come the ruler of all Israel. Who's that? King Jesus. So this moment with David is not just the rise of a shepherd boy to a king. It's the unfolding divine thread of God's redemptive story from Genesis all the way to the end. And when God moves, he is never improvising. David was not a backup plan. No, David was God's choice from the beginning. While other people saw an insignificant youngest son who's a shepherd, God saw the next king of Israel. While David was worshiping in the hills, God was preparing a throne. And it wasn't luck, it was the sovereignty of God. And this isn't just David's story. It's yours. It's mine. Because some of you know exactly what it feels like to be unseen. You've worked hard. You've stayed faithful. You've carried burdens that nobody else knows about. You've walked through seasons where it felt like everybody else got the invitation, But you were left out of the loop. You've watched others get the job, others get the recognition, others get chosen, and deep down you've wondered, does anybody see me? And that ache can run deep. It can run for years. Maybe it started in your family where you felt like you were the forgotten child. Maybe in your marriage where your sacrifice and your endurance has gone unnoticed. Maybe at work or even in the church where you've served quietly, consistently. It feels like nobody is paying attention. But God is. God has seen you all along. Before anyone else knew your name, God did. Before you took your first breath, His eyes were already on you. Before anybody celebrated you, He had already chosen you. While you've been waiting, wondering, and maybe even weeping, His gaze has never left you. He's seen the small acts of obedience when nobody else was watching. He's seen the private sacrifices, the whispered prayers, the silent tears. He's seen the nights when you questioned if any of it mattered. It mattered to Him. You may feel buried right now, but in God's economy, what feels like burial is often just planting. And when the time is right, the fruit of that hidden faithfulness will break through the ground and will be seen. The oil is already in the horn. The plan's already in motion. You don't need to claw for attention. You don't need to prove your worth. You don't need to fight to be seen. You are seen by the God who created everything. Seen by the only eyes that really matter. Held by the only hands that never fail. Chosen by the King who writes the end from the beginning. So hold on. Stay faithful in the field. Trust in the God who sees you, who saw David, not as forgotten, but as His. Not overlooked, but loved. Not hidden, but being prepared for the moment He calls your name. If you're still breathing in this life, regardless of your age, your best days are not behind you if you are in alignment with the Lord. God has seen you all along. And when His moment comes, not yours, He will call you forward. God sees you and has a purpose for your life. Secondly, God sees what others miss. God has seen you all along, but God sees what others miss. Take a look at this in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 16. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointing stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Then Jesse had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. So as all of Jesse's sons entered, the first one that Samuel saw was Eliab, and he goes, that's got to be the guy. Because remember, Judah was the largest tribe, and they had the best warriors, and these guys were serious warrior leaders. Eliab looked like a leader, strong, tall, kingly, just like Saul. Even after Saul's failure, Samuel was still drawn to the outward traits. But God interrupted him. He said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or height. I have rejected him." And God speaks a truth that echoes through redemptive history. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks in the heart. In one sentence, God dismantles the world's metric for what is success. True worth is never external. It is spiritual. And here's a detail we often miss. In ancient Hebrew culture, firstborn sons held almost automatic privilege. The assumption was that leadership flowed through seniority, right? But God overturns the birth order and rewrites the selection process. And this isn't just about David, it's a theological shift from Abel over Cain, from Jacob over Esau, to David over Eliab. God consistently chooses the unexpected to show that his favor is not earned. It is given by grace. Grace. Jesse never called David. Not because he hated him, it's just David wasn't on his radar. David didn't fit the mold. The youngest must have came to the wrong place. Because a shepherd, I mean, he's functional, but forgettable. But God saw what nobody else did. God saw what nobody else saw. David wasn't impressive necessarily by human standards, but in God's eyes, David was ready to be anointed king. Why? Not because of his physical strength, but because of his surrender. Not talent, but because of his trust. And God never misses that. Some of us have lived under labels that were never true. Oh, she's just too quiet. He's just too simple. Oh, it's too broken. Too broken. Let's find somebody else. Too different. A little quirky. Maybe you've been passed over, dismissed by other people. Maybe even told directly that you're just not the one. But deep down, it's left you asking this question: does anybody really see me? Does anybody really see me? Yes. Yes. God does. He sees the nights you prayed in silence, the forgiveness you gave with no applause, the faithfulness you showed when it cost you, the strength it took to keep on going when nobody else would stand with you. He sees the courage behind your tears, the purity that you chose when nobody else was watching. And here's what's different about God. He's not impressed with charisma, but by character. He's not drawn to polish, but to purity. He's not looking for someone who looks ready. He's looking for somebody who has his heart. When you look at my resume as the pastor of First Baptist Church, my resume makes no sense. There's no way that if you just looked at the life of Joel Engel and all of the ways that God's used me, you'd go, "Oh, that dude, First Baptist Church, Newton, man." And let me tell you, if you looked at me and went, "Hey, of all the churches like you would pastor, it would, like, in my human's perspective, it would not be First Baptist Newnan. Sorry, y'all weren't even on the radar. I figured it'd be, you know, a more big, you know, contemporary church because I've kind of been in a path of innovation." And I thought, man, there's no way like a church, a downtown First Baptist church with, you know, a person with a doctorate and all these things, it just wouldn't fit. And yet, guess what? I'm here, not because of me working the system or people being desperate, because God sees what nobody else sees. So stop letting other people's opinions define you. Stop chasing approval for those who never saw your worth. God sees what others miss. And when God sees a surrendered heart, listen, He moves. Not because you check all the boxes, but because He's already chosen you. You're not who they said you were. You are who He says you are. And that is more than enough. God sees you and has a purpose for your life, child of God. Number three, God sees who you're becoming. First Samuel 16, beginning of verse 10. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are all these the sons you have?" "Well, they're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. That was Valerie's verse when we first started dating. That's not supposed to be funny. The choir doesn't even have my back. That's scary. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. Samuel then went to Ramah. God sees who you're becoming. Seven sons stood before Samuel. Seven times God said no. Jesse offered the strongest candidates, but none fit the calling. So Samuel asked the question Jesse never expected. "Are these all the sons that you have?" And Jesse hesitated, as if David really didn't count. "Well, they're still the youngest, tending the sheep." Samuel's reply is fierce. He says, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." And I promise you, those guys did not sit down. Heaven would not move forward without the one God has chosen. When David entered, the text notes that he had a healthy appearance, not to suggest that God chose him for that, but to highlight something deeper. Even though David looked the part, God's choice had nothing to do with his outward traits. His selection came from something unseen: David's heart, his surrender, his readiness. Remember that David is the only person in the whole scripture that says he had a heart after God. Here's something that many miss. This is the first time in the scripture where the Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully and permanently upon someone for leadership. Previous leaders like Saul were anointed but later rejected. David's anointing, however, initiates a pattern that will culminate with Jesus. Who's Jesus called? The son of David, from the lineage of David, the king on whom God's Spirit rests without measure, the Lord Jesus Christ, is from the lineage of King David. And this moment sets the trajectory for the Messiah. And so the oil flows, the Holy Spirit comes. David doesn't sit on the throne yet. He has to wait 15 more years. But he's set apart for what he will become. Now, this is for those who feel stuck in the field. You've served faithfully. You stay close to God when it would have been easier to quit, but the calling still seems so far off. The goal still seems so far away. And part of you wonders, does anybody really see who I am? But here's the truth. God doesn't just see where you are. He sees who you're becoming. The world labels you by where you've been, right? Your past resume. God calls you based on where he's taking you. Others might see you as just a shepherd, but God sees you as something sacred, and there's something sacred that's being shaped inside you right now. He's not scanning your resume. He's refining your readiness. He's not measuring your public image. He's forming your private integrity. And when God anoints, it's not just symbolic. It's supernatural. The Spirit came powerfully upon David, and that same Spirit comes upon everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, not just upon, but within. The moment that a person calls upon Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside. That's called resurrection power. So if you feel stuck, you feel unseen, uncalled, unheard, remember, the oil may not have flowed yet, but the calling is already in motion. It wasn't much more than a year ago when I began to have an ache to be back pastoring. And I was praying, and I'd gone down the road with some churches that they thought I'd be good for them, and I thought I'd be good for them, and it would just kind of flame out at the very end. And Valerie came to my little office in the house one day, and I was telling her my struggles, and she said, "Honey, God could take his little pinky and touch our lives and change everything instantly." And you know what I said? "Of course I know that, Valerie. I'm a pastor. I probably wrote that, and you're quoting me." But man, that little thing just stuck in the back of my head. And you know what happened? Around April of last year, God just went, bink. Here I am. Look at me. God is shaping you for something greater than you can imagine. I promise you. You may feel overlooked, but heaven is waiting. You may feel buried, but God is planting. You may feel delayed, but the delay is doing some deep work inside of you. God sees the unseen battles you fought, and there's no tears that you've ever cried that God has not counted them and stored them in his bottle. Your faithfulness has not gone unnoticed. He's shaping you into who you are becoming. And his anointing will stay on you, not for where you've been, but for where he's leading you. And David's story is not just about David. It's about the God who sees. God's seen you all along. God sees what others have missed. God sees who you're becoming. But it doesn't stop with David. God's anointing pointed to a greater king, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not chosen for his appearance. He was a man of sorrows, closely acquainted with grief. God did not call Jesus from the fields, but from eternity, to step into our world for 33 years. And he was the stone that the builders rejected, and he became the chief cornerstone. And yeah, he was overlooked, but now he is exalted above every other name. He's the one who sees you today, not just as you are, but as who he is shaping you to be. And church family, you can walk in confidence that if Christ is in you, your life has meaning and purpose. And you don't need the world's approval when you have God's anointing in you. You don't need a seat at their table when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't need to fight to be seen, because the God who holds the universe, He's seen you all along. And your story is still unfolding under the eyes of the God who sees you. Maybe you need prayer today. Maybe you're struggling with some hurt. Maybe you're trying to figure out where you stand with the Lord. We're going to have a time of music. A lot of times we just have people come forward to pray. Whatever it is, would you be willing just to step into what God is doing today? Why don't you stand with me and we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you see us, that you love us, and that you have a purpose for us. We pray that even right now, your Holy Spirit will move in your people. I pray this in your name. Amen.